Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are coming to you with our last Comic Book Club show of the year. We'll still have a stack coming at you on December 31st, but we're not doing a live show this week. Instead, we are going to do our 2026 comic book movie and TV preview. There's lots of TV shows coming at you, just a couple, just a handful of movies. It's a very different year, I think, coming up in 2026 than even we really had in 2025, and certainly not the heyday of comic book TV shows and movies, but there's still plenty of stuff to look forward to. So we're going to talk down it all, give you a little preview, talk about what to expect, what we're hyped for, what we're excited for. So I feel like last year, at the end of the podcast, we made a call for like what our most hype thing was, right? Mm. Like what we were most looking forward to.
Oh,
so
yes.
Let's I don't remember what we called out last year, I think.
Same.
Yeah. Probably, I think I said Thunderbolts, and that was not my favorite of the year, so I was wrong.
You're right, because I think maybe I said Fantastic Four, and I remember you being strangely down on that.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
And Fantastic Four, I ended up liking more than Thunderbolts, so there you go.
Yes, and I think I like Thunderbolts more than Fantastic Four.
Oh, I wish I was... Oh, no, we're not doing that.
No, we could do. We could try.
So
we could try.
So close. No, really, I don't have an amulet or anything. It's fine. Pete, what were you looking forward to? Nothing, I believe.
Yep.
Yeah. And you like that?
I just wanted to live. I wanted to survive, and I did it.
And did you live, Pete?
I did.
All right. So after we go through all of this, and we are going to be doing, like I said, a combined movie and TV preview, just because honestly, there's so few movies that are coming out this year, comic book wise.
And let me say, Alex, real quick. Yeah. A lot of this stuff is what we normally cover on our Week in Geek podcast,
yes,
which is something for Patreon subscribers only. But if you like hearing about this kind of stuff, we get on there and we talk about all of the movies and TV that we're taking in, and have a lot of more of our spicier takes about the larger culture.
Yeah, so if you are interested in that, patreon.com/comicbookclub. You can also get ad-free versions of this podcast and all the podcasts we do. And as you mentioned, there are several shows in here in particular that we do other podcasts for as well. So we'll get to those when we get to those. But why don't we kick it off? Things are starting early on January 21st, 2026. We are going to get The Beauty, and that is going to be from FX and Hulu. That's the wrong thing there. Why don't we... Tech's already not working. If you're watching on YouTube, there's a bunch of videos we're putting up. If you're listening audio-wise, none of this matters for you. Anyway, this is coming from Ryan Murphy. We got an all-star cast. This is based on the comic book by Jeremy Hahn. And, oh my God, I really should have written this down, and I forgot. Jason A. Hurley. Originally came out through Image Comics. They're doing a reprinting and continuation of it through Ignition Press. And I don't want to speak for you guys. This is definitely one of my favorite comics that we covered over the years. It takes place in a world, at least in the comic, where there is a STD that causes people to look like their best selves, with an unfortunate side effect that some people start spontaneously combusting. At the same time, there is a serial killer that seems to be stalking people with the beauty. The TV show, I will say, I saw the panel for it over at New York Comic Con. And they've made some changes to it. Instead, Ashton Kutcher is a pharma billionaire who comes up with this formula. He basically does it as like you do a, I think, monthly subscription service. So his whole thing is like, yeah, you got to pay for the beauty. Otherwise, you're going to explode. So keep paying for it. And there is still the serial killer, but they've turned it into an international thriller with Evan Peters and Rebecca Hall as these investigators who are going all over the globe. So kind of related, tangentially not. That's all the setup. This is going to be coming out in a couple of episode chunks starting on January 21st. So I think there's like three episodes on premiere day, then two episodes until the premiere, the season finale, excuse me. So thoughts on that with the preamble out of the way. Are you hyped? What are you thinking?
I'm hyped. First off, FX Hulu really does a good job of, you know, I trust that creative engine to, if they're going to make changes, that's actually for the better. The changes do sound a lot like the first episode of the most recent season of Black Mirror, if y'all watched that, which was very good and really dark, though. And I wonder if this is going to have that same sort of upsetting dark edge. The subscription pharma aspect of it does feel like timely in relation to things like the GLP-1 drugs, which are a little bit close to this idea. I don't know. Like, what do you think about? I feel like this premise may be better for TV. Like, they made the right choice.
Interesting. I don't know. I definitely got on my nerd brain, honestly, with you guys while I was watching the panel, because I was like, come on, man. This is such a simple premise in this comic. Why do you need to overcomplicate it? Why don't you change it? I think everything you're saying, Justin, totally makes sense. But the footage they showed off seemed very Ryan Murphy doing his Ryan Murphy thing and making it arch and ridiculous. And
well, let me say, the Ryan Murphy is the largest cause for alarm, I feel like, with this. Like, he is such a hit-or-miss creator.
Yeah.
And his deal at Netflix was all misses, and then he's come back with a couple hits with his serial killer series, what's called Monster, right?
Yeah.
And that, so he, you know, he can be good, and he certainly makes for some visually striking stuff. In the preview footage we saw here, it looks awesome, and honestly, the visual of the heat radiating out of the bodies, like, that's very evocative, and I think that's nice. So
I will say the stuff that didn't show off in this teaser that they did show off at the panel, they showed off a couple of scenes, and the things that kind of put me off a little bit is Ashton Kutcher basically acting like the Joker, but as a tech billionaire and like dancing and prancing all over the place. I'm like, I don't know about that. That's very Ryan Murphy. Also, Anthony Ramos is some sort of like arch. I like him, but he's some sort of like assassin dude with a silver eye patch
who's
riding around in cars doing the thing that was old when Pulp Fiction did it, where he's like, I'm going to talk about a song and I'm going to talk about musicals and give a big monologue about that. And I'm like, this is playing to all of Ryan Murphy's worst impulses.
Did he talk about Hamilton?
No, they didn't talk about Hamilton. I'm forgetting which musical it was.
That would have been a wild choice.
So, Ramos is my only thing that I'm looking forward to in this thing because...
Wait, let me ask you, Pete, why do you love him so much? Why do you love him so much?
Well, I'm a sucker for a villain with an eye patch, you know what I mean? Like, that's old school fun villain.
Nothing says villain like eye patch.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If we're going to do it, like, lean into it. So that got me excited. But the look of it just, it seemed so over the top and not fun. You know, like just the sexy people, but they're on fire and
Pete, your taste may be out of touch with both me and most of society. Sexy people looking hot is sort of a thing, sort of the main thing, really.
Sure. Yeah. But like,
you ever seen a magazine? A lot of that.
Sure have. But yeah, so I was holding on to Ramos. Ramos is the only thing that I got excited for. So
I will say, despite my reservations, I love the comic so much that I'm going to watch every single episode of this. And I really do hope it works. It is one of those Ryan Murphy hits rather than the misses, but we will see what happens. Why don't we
I think isn't Jeremy Hahn involved in it as well?
Yeah.
So that seems positive, and he seemed positive about the changes even. I mean, obviously he wants to do that. so that makes sense. But the only thing I'll say about Anthony Ramos is, I feel like he has been cast as villains in so many things, And it feels like a miss. I don't know why he's become this villain.
You're thinking of Ironheart specifically.
Ironheart specifically. But I feel like in a lot of things, he feels miscast. And Ironheart in this.
Yeah, I don't think they've exactly. He's a star. Like I saw him in Hamilton on Broadway, and he was phenomenal.
He's very good.
But I feel like they haven't quite figured out how to use him properly yet. So we'll see. Hopefully this is the one. Why don't we move on to the next one? This is the first MCU show of the year. Of course, we're talking about Wonder Man, which is going to be premiering on Disney Plus on January 27th, all episodes. The meta premise here is that Yahya Abdul-Mateen II is an actor named Simon Williams who finds out a reclusive director is rebooting the old, very cheesy Wonder Man series in a more serious, gritty way, and he absolutely wants that part. He wants to get that part, so he recruits Trevor Slattery, who is played by Ben Kingsley, reprising his role from Iron Man 3, Shang-Chi, and also the Hail to the King short, as his acting coach, and he goes for it. This also comes from Destin Daniel Cretton, who did Shang-Chi and is going to be directing the Spider-Man movie that we'll be talking about in a little bit, so big year for him. This is also going to be released all 8 episodes as a binge drop on January 27th after being shifted down the schedule several times. It is also going to be under the Marvel Spotlight imprint that we all know and love from Echo, the only time they have previously used that. So that all out of the way, that's Wonder Man thoughts on this one.
Well, he was unbelievable in The Watchmen,
Yahya Abdul-Mateen.
Yeah, so I'm excited for this. I know the JT Sizzle is a huge Wonder Man fan, so I'll let
Wonder
you take
fan,
over.
Wonder Man, if you will.
Yeah, but
Wonder Man.
I'm excited about, I don't have a love of Wonder Man, but, I'll see his work, so I'm excited to check this out.
I'll see his work.
Yeah.
All the details you said about the release, the Marvel Spotlight, the all episode drop, the fact that it's coming at the end of January, a famous place to leave your absolute corpses in entertainment culture, are like red flags. So I don't know. The Marvel Spotlight, it feels like such a crazy thing. Are they literally calling it that to be like, please watch this? It feels like such a flop sweat thing to
technically
to have created.
The Marvel Spotlight thing is supposed to be for shows and movies that you don't have to watch anything else to enjoy. But as we saw with Echo, that was a direct sequel to 3 seasons of Daredevil and also Hawkeye, and then set up Daredevil Born Again. Here with Wonder Man, not only, like I said, it ties into Iron Man 3 and Shang-Chi, but there's also, Pete, Pit Guy, Arian Moyed?
Yeah, Arian, yeah.
Arian. He is reprising his role as the guy from Damage Control that he previously did in Spider-Man No Way Home and a couple of other movies as well. So, like, whatever they're saying, it
Isn't
does
it
connect.
Moreland? Isn't it Moreland? Isn't that how you say his last name?
I don't know. You know him better than I do.
This is a real person, just to translate what these two are talking about. The Pit is the People's Improv Theater in New York City, and this is an actor that Pete performed with, right?
Yeah, I used to perform with also, like, he was a night manager, and I was a night manager, and yeah.
Yeah. And that's the TV show Night Manager, where you guys were spy killers. Is that correct?
How
you guys would kill
with
spies
Tom,
together.
Old Tommy Hiddleston.
Oh,
how was that?
Jeez.
Anyway, just to clarify, so the Spotlight thing, it's supposed to be disconnected, but clearly it's not. I agree with you on the binge drop. That's worrisome. Like, in my neighborhood, they have these posters up for Get Acting Lessons from Trevor Slattery that have been apparently up in L.A. since, like, November, when it was originally supposed to be released. So that all points to, like, either it's bad and or they just don't have confidence in the show necessarily. But I will say, I know we were, like, mixed on Echo, but it wasn't the absolute disaster that it seemed to be from giving it the same release. Yeah. And like Pete's saying, a lot of people liked it. So, I don't know. Like, meta joke commentary can go a lot of ways. I'm still curious, just because, like Pete said, I like the actors in it. Ed Harris is also in it, as I believe, like, a studio exec or something like that, and he's great. I don't know. I know I'm giving cautiously optimistic for the first two things we're talking about here, but I hope it's good. I want it to be good. I just worry, given everything around it, that it is not.
I know I was highlighting the red flags, but I am cautiously optimistic about this show. I like the Ben Kingsley character and the Mandarin switcheroo they pulled in the MCU canon. I thought was one of the wildest, biggest creative swings back in the day. So, like, to follow up on that, I think is fun. I think the Hollywood satire nature of this that they're going to do, sort of like the TV show The Studio, feels like they're going to touch on that world a little bit. I think it could be cool. And, you know, you got to hope that Marvel is going to have upset the balance and have like a surprise win one of these days. I feel like we've gotten surprise L's constantly, and it's time for a win.
Yeah. Well, why don't we move on to one that I do think is definitely going to be a win, or I certainly hope it will be, which is Daredevil Born Again Season 2. This is coming out March 4th. We don't know the exact schedule, but it'll certainly be weekly, potentially with double or triple or however they want to roll it out episodes. But the big headline here is that this is the continuation, obviously, of Season 1, which, spoilers, left the Kingpin in charge of New York City, the vigilantes on their back foot, trying to figure out how to fight back against him. And this season is going to bring everybody back. Of course, Charlie Cox will be back as Daredevil. Deborah Ann Wall is going to be more of a part of the season as Karen Page this time around. And Pete just shouted Foggy randomly out of nowhere. But in fact, Foggy. Eldon Henson is going to be back in Foggy Nelson. So we will see what happens there. But if you are watching on the YouTube, the big thing that is going to be different this season is Kristen Ritter is also going to be back as Jessica Jones, which is, woo-hoo, I think, pretty cool, given one of the things that I certainly felt at the end of the season is when they were talking about, hey, we're taking down all the vigilantes in New York. It was like who, for example, just name several of them.
Show me the list.
So it's nice to have one of the other Netflix. Yes. So it's nice to have Jessica Jones back in the season. I'm excited about that. I thought Daredevil Born Again Season 1 personally was like one of the high watermarks for Marvel TV for sure. So when you're talking about surprise wins, I do think that was one of them, because everything could have gone wrong with that. And instead, a lot of things went really, really right. So what do you guys think? Hyped for Daredevil Born Again Season 2?
Yeah, big time, and especially because they're smart enough to bring Foggy back. You know,
I'm sure all the reviewers are going to echo this same idea. They were finally smart enough to bring Foggy back.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I think everybody's on the same page. Very pro Foggy. So
the same Karen Page.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of ships, it'll be interesting to see what happens here. And I'm excited for it. I do agree that the last season of this was really good, so excited to get some more.
It is funny, in the preview image you have here, Alex, that Daredevil's standing in front of a color swatch that looks like his uniform. Almost like, hey, what's this? What are you decorating like me here? Very strange image that they've chosen to release for this. I mean, I'm excited for this. Bringing in the old Netflix characters, cool. Are we going to get more? Probably not, but Jessica Jones was a hit. Marvel continuing to look to try to find their future by looking backwards. Not always successful in TV, but more successful in comics. Maybe they're going to nail it here.
I just wanted to add, the big question that I have is, Season 1 was very much built on the bones of a previous Season 1. I'm sure most people remember this, but they had shot most of Season 1, then were paused due to the strikes, looked at it, and were like, this is not working. This is not
what trash. This, this. To be. We have
well,
to kill
and they
Foggy.
Still
they
used
said
scenes and episodes. Yes, they did. So a lot they of they had stuff to work with already. Season 2, they do not. So I think this is going to be a real test of like how these new showrunners and directors, are they going to be able to give it the same like really strong episodic thematic focus that first season had? We shall see.
Just to jump in here about what Justin was talking about, we have this image from the show, and I think it's clear that she's like, you have echolocation, you can see my face, why won't you at least look in my general direction? You know what I mean? And he's like, I'm trying
you
to
think he's being
I'm
really
blind.
Shy? Is he so shy?
Yeah, I'm just a little daredevil.
You're looking at me, lady. We met once in The Defenders, sort of.
Yes. Anyway, we will see what happens and how that rolls out. We'll certainly be covering that on our Marvel Vision podcast for sure. Yes. Here's one we're going to be covering on a different podcast. We've got the return of Invincible for Woo-hoo. Season 4. We don't have an exact date for this one. We do know it's coming out in March of 2026. And unlike that one season that everybody was very bad about, this will be rolling out new episodes weekly, consistently for the entire season versus having a break in the middle. We don't know exactly what's going to happen here, but there's two things we could assume. One, we are likely going to have some part or all of the Viltrumite War that the show has been building up to the entire time. We have a cast for Emperor Thrag, who, if you haven't read the book, is sort of the big bad of the entire series. He's going to be voiced by Lee Pace. And the other thing that I think is going to happen this season is something that we never saw in the comic book, which is an episode where Invincible goes to hell, picking up on some of the cliffhangers that we had in season 3. This is something that Robert Kirkman said he always wanted to do with the book and never got to do. So that should be fun and exciting to see something entirely fresh and new in the series. I'm looking forward to this. This is always solid. This is always a good time. What about you guys?
Same. I mean, this show's good. This is just a good show. They are grinding through the source material from the comic in a way that is exciting. They're just Robert Kirkman is just unabashed. They're like, let's get to the big stuff. Let's do the Viltrumite War here. Like, it's going to be awesome. You know, my only complaint about this show really ever is the needle drops, and yeah, that's fine. That's fine to be a little off with the needle drops. That's what I'm saying. Who cares?
It's a very small problem.
Who cares?
It's weird
cool.
to even bring up.
It's weird to bring up. Stop bringing it up, Pete. Let's just be positive for a change.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is a great show. I love the casting. All the characters are fantastic. Kirky's knows his storytelling, so whatever he wants to do, I'm on board for. So, yeah, you want to go to hell? Let's do it, Kirky's. Whatever you think. And, I don't have a problem with this show trying to keep it fresh. I'm very happy to churn through material that we've read in the comics or whatever, because it does feel different and kind of carved out its own thing, even though it's based off something we know really well. So, yeah, I'm excited for more of this, and it's always fun to see who gets cast and what. There's always some really great voices on that show.
Exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Go to Dutch.com to get vet care that is always there for just $92 a year.
Pick up the pace.
All right. We've got another one here, which I'm sorry, I forgot to actually bring up the trailer. I'll see if I can bring it. But we are getting the final season of The Boys, season 5,
wow.
That is coming out April 8th, 2026. We are going to get this one weekly as well. Presumably, they'll have like 3 episodes on the first day and then 1 episode a week thereafter until the end of the series. And this is it. Homelander has taken over the United States. Billy Butcher has a weird, horrible, cancerous growth powered up by Compound V, and everybody else is no idea what's going on, but they know they're headed towards the end game as they fight back. We're also picking up on the end of the season of Gen V. And we're going to have the Gen V kids are going to show up throughout the season as well. We don't know exactly how. One other big thing for fans of Eric Kripke's back IMDb or whatever you want to call it. There's going to be a Supernatural reunion this season. Jensen Ackles is for sure coming back as Soldier Boy. We also have Jared Padalecki and Misha Collins, who are on Supernatural, are showing up in roles as well. So I'm sure they'll have a lot of fun with that. What do you guys think? Are you nervous? Do you think they're going to stick the landing with the final season of The Boys? What's up? What's up, yo?
That's a tough... Well, first off, The Boys has been solid. It's been a really insane show that does such a great job of kind of grabbing the shock value of the comic and having so much fun with it. So I'm excited. I've enjoyed it every season of The Boys, so I'll be excited to see what they do and how it's all going to unfold. Yeah, I'm a little worried about how the Gen V thing is going to go, because Gen V was like, this changes everything. I'm just as badass as Homelander. So we'll see how that all kind of unfolds. But yeah, I think it'll be kind of cool to see their last season. I hope they do a good job of landing the ship.
This show's the ultimate, like, we're going to raise the stakes to an extreme area, and don't worry, we'll figure it out. And they've been able to nail it every season so far. I can't wait for this. I think it's going to be great. The social satire and political satire they've been able to put into the show over the course of the seasons, as our political situation gets sort of more heightened in the real world, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, I feel like they're reflecting that in the show, and that's exciting to be able to see that. It makes every episode like a full meal. And shouts to the what we're calling the Amazon drop, where you do three and then go week to week. All shows should be that way. Let's do that. Everybody listen up. Let's change the whole game. We don't need to do drops. Just give me a big bite of Wonder Man and then a weekly drip, because that totally works. And The Boys were, I think, the first to really do that, and it really works. So fully looking forward to this show.
And one last thing I'll say, just as a warning for folks, they've already said to expect multiple deaths throughout the season. They're not going to leave anything on the table.
Everyone
in fact,
dies.
Well, I mean, I don't want to spoil too much for the comic, but yes. And also, it certainly seems like some of our favorite characters may go out as early as those first three episodes drops.
Dang. So that's we're definitely going to get some deaths in that beginning. Like, who knows? Like,
we should do a bracket of like who dies. You know what I mean?
I think Frenchie and Kimiko are not going to make it out of those first three episodes. That's my pick.
Fair. Here's
I think Justin's thing, boy is going to die first.
Who's my boy?
The Aquaman knockoff, who's
the
a pervert.
Deep?
The deep? No. If anything, the deep's going to survive. He's the punching bag. He has to stay the longest. Honestly, I was about to say, who do you think's going to live? And I think it's the deep. It was what my call was going to be. Dude.
Pete, do you have a call? Either Deathpool or Livepool?
Yeah. I love Livepool. One of the funniest characters that Marvel does is Livepool.
Yeah, I feel like it's really just going to come down to Butcher and Homelander, but it'd be interesting to see if it's one of the Gen Vs and Homelander for the big showdown.
Yeah.
If anything, the Gen V crew is safe, because we're going to maybe get more of that. That's where we're going to continue.
So we will see. All right. Why don't we also continue and talk about a movie that I think is probably a little under the radar as a comic book movie, but it is finally going to come out this year. Yes. Four Kids Walk Into a Bank. This is coming out. It is currently scheduled for April 17th, 2026. I believe it's coming to theaters. And this is co-written by Matthew Rosenberg, who wrote the comic, with Frankie Shaw, who is directing it. It stars Liam Neeson as a old bank robber who is retired and ostensibly gets pulled into one last job, except his granddaughter and her friends are like, we can't let you go back to jail. Instead, we're going to do the job for you because we won't get as much time, or we might actually get away with it. It's a great comic. I've really been looking forward to this movie, and fingers crossed, I hope they nail it, because it could be a lot of fun.
Super excited for this. Excited for Matthew Rosenberg that this is finally coming out. Right. Every time we've talked to him over the last like year and a half, we've brought up, so how's it going? And he's been, I would say, like tight-lipped but pumped. So that's fun. This is going to be great. I think that this is the kind of small movie with a great story that could just really pop off when you have someone like Liam Neeson just in the starring spot.
Yeah, this has a lot of potential because the comic book was a banger. It was just so good. It was such a page turner. It was so creative and cool. So, all they have to do is kind of stick close to the source material and they should be having a huge hit on their hands. But we will see.
Now, before we move on, or we are going to move on with this, you might have noticed that we've talked MCU, we've talked Invincible, we've talked The Boys, but we haven't talked DCU yet. And that's because the first DCU thing that is coming out this year is going to be Supergirl, which is coming out June 26, 2026. This is based on Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow by Tom King and Bilquis Avely. And it stars Millie Alcock as Supergirl. And the idea of it, though there's some tweaks for the movie, clearly based on the footage that we've seen in the teaser trailer, she is trying to get drunk in space for her birthday when she encounters a young girl named Ruthie who has suffered tragedy at the hands of a villain called Krem of the Yellow Hills. And so Supergirl and Ruthie head off through the galaxy in pursuit of him. One of the big changes from the book to the movie is that we are going to get the introduction of Lobo, played by Jason Momoa, who you might remember previously played Aquaman in the previous iteration of the DCU. So stuff going on there. What do you guys think? Are you hyped for this one?
Nervously excited. I think that... first off, the book was phenomenal, so if they can just kind of stick to that, they'll be set. But also very excited for Lobo. A lot of potential for success here. Hopefully they land it.
Yeah, I think I'm super psyched for this. I think the trailer's great. You know, a lot of people are saying this is just like Guardians in a negative way, and I'm like, That's cool. Like, remember how much we love Guardians of the Galaxy? Yeah. But I think this has even more of a scrappy feel to it. Like, she's just trying to party and gets wrapped up in a really dark situation, it looks like.
Yeah, you remember this, your 20s.
Yeah, I've been there. But I think the way the trailer goes, like, we saved the outfit reveal for later in the trailer. And it really feels like we get to see the dark versus light and what it means to be a superhero, a Superman or Supergirl in this case. Like, I like that as a theme. I think it's about her, like, getting right, sort of, from partying to, like, saving the day. And correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, wasn't this the script that James Gunn was like, yo, we have to make this almost immediately. It's too good.
No, that's one we're going to be talking about later on.
But yes.
Yeah, he did say that he cried hearing the pitch from Anna.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. So, like, that's cool. That's very cool.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. I'm looking forward to this. And one note before I forget to say this later, we've already said this multiple times throughout this podcast, is one thing that's becoming clear is, like, good source material for a lot of this stuff. Like, and I think that gives you a leg up when you're creating an adaptation, is when you're working off of a already really, really good comic. And the things that we've cast doubt on, I think, are the ones that just seem to sort of be charting their own path. So I don't know. Obviously, that's our bias on things, but I thought that was interesting to point out. I'm looking forward to this. I think this is going to be, not to get too businessy, a real test for the DCU, because Superman did well financially, but it didn't, like, crush or anything like that.
Yeah.
Then you had Peacemaker came out and had mixed reception to the season and also didn't really chart in terms of any of the TV charts or anything like that. You also had Creature Commandos, same thing, didn't really hit Nielsen's charts or anything. So
that was great. Creature Commandos was awesome.
Whatever you thought of them, I'm talking purely from a business perspective. You have the first DCU movie of the year coming out, the first DCU property. at the same time as Warner Brothers is under sale and is probably going to be owned by a new owner by the time we get around to Supergirl, or at least they're going to be heavy in negotiations there. This is something that I think people are going to be looking at a lot, like, is the DCU going to go long-term? Because if this doesn't perform, this is no shade on the quality of the movie, that's going to put a lot of the future of the DCU in doubt for whatever the new owners are for Warner Brothers. If it does really well, that's great, and I hope it does. So we'll see.
Yeah, just one thing yes. on that real quick. Like, I feel like even though Superman, it was a success. Everyone, like, the tone of it, like, it was good but not great enough. I'm like, yes, but that might be enough. That level of success and being part of the conversation might be enough to actually be the future of comic book movies. So I think as long as this movie gets close to Superman, we can mm-hmm. consider it a success, I think.
100%. If it's at the same level financially, I think we're fine. If it does less than that, there's going to be a lot of think pieces about it. If it does more, great for the DCU.
No we'll think see. Pieces, I say.
Let's go. Enough of the DCU stuff. Let's go back to the MCU and talk about Spider-Man Brand New Day, which is coming out July 31st, 2026. A lot of questions about this one. This has a new director, as I mentioned earlier. It's, is it Destin Daniel Cretton or Daniel Destin Cretton? I keep mixing up those two names, and I'm really sorry about that. But director of Shang-Chi is taking over from the previous director, who is John Watts. We are getting a Spider-Man who most of the world doesn't remember is Peter Parker, including MJ and Ned, his friends who are going to be back for the movie. But we also have a packed cast going on here. Mark Ruffalo is going to be in it as Bruce Banner the Hulk, much to Pete's elation. John Bernthal is going to be in it as Frank Castle the Punisher. We've also got Tombstone is going to be in here. Scorpion is back from his post-credits appearance of the first MCU Spider-Man movie. We've also got Sadie Sink as a mystery character. A lot of folks think is the new Jean Grey from the X-Men, though we'll probably be talking about that in a second when we get to another
That's
movie.
Crazy.
And a lot more characters beyond that. I'm completely forgetting her name, but Lady from the Bear is in it as a mystery character who a lot of people think is Miles Morales' mom.
We've Abby also Elliot?
Got Travel Tilbin from Lisa Zolikolian.
I really should look
up these names. I'm sorry. Also Travel Tilbin from Severance is in it, also as a mystery character. So huge packed cast, lots of stuff going on, lots of questions about this movie. What do you guys think?
Well, it's the first thing they got to do is that horrible cliffhanger that they left us on is take care of that immediately. I want to be right back in the diner. I need him to tell MJ who he is so we can move on because this I'm not going to tell the love of my life who the fuck I am so we can be together is driving me crazy.
Well, that may happen. We don't know. But I don't think so. If this movie, Brand New Day, like just in the title, it's going to be about some sort of restart thing. Like, I don't know if that's based on the comic, but I don't think this is necessarily going to be based too hard on the story from Brand New Day. I think they're going to come around to that, likely, Pete, I would think, because that relationship is so strong. But man, this movie's jammed with characters. Not to say mm-hmm. that's a negative. Like, I think the Spider-Man movies have done a good job of balancing a lot of story and characters. But the idea that we're introducing the X-Men here is wild. It's like, you mm-hmm. don't need to do that here,
no,
even though they're probably like, well, we want to do it here because this movie's much more of a guaranteed hit than anything else.
The thing that I hope for this movie, putting Sadie Sink aside, because I'll get to her in a second, is everything about this movie, other than having the Hulk in it, makes me feel like, oh, this is going to be like a classic Spider-Man gang war storyline, which I'm into. Like, give us a big street-level Spider-Man, which we've never seen on screen before. Make it like Scorpion versus Tombstone, which is basically your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, but whatever, it's fine. And throw in the Punisher in the middle there to bust things up. That's great. I'm super into that. The thing that I'm worried about is this is the first movie before Doomsday, and I just think, like, given how big Spider-Man No Way Home was with the multiverse stuff, they just can't resist it. Like, they're not going to be able to resist, like, yep, she's Jean Grey from the multiverse, and or she's Spider-Gwen, or literally whoever. And that to me is like, no, just focus on what you're saying about Spider-Man. Focus on what you're saying about Peter Parker. Keep focused on the street-level stuff in New York, and I will be super happy.
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
Great. I'm glad you guys agree.
Total agreement. The only thing is, like, it's so hard for, I feel like, the MCU, the Marvel Overmind, to resist going huge with the story. If they can do that and have it be that, like, New York City superheroic story, awesome. And maybe that gives them a little bit of safe harbor to introduce Jean Grey into the mix. If it's like, if that's the only big thing, and it really is just something about Peter getting his life back together, moving his tutelage from Iron Man in the past to now, I guess, Bruce Banner going forward, like, that's there's sure. good story there.
Yeah, just no Spider-Verse, no multiverse, and I know I'm going to be disappointed in that because it's just going to happen. Speaking of throughout the Marvel multiverse, we are finally going to get X-Men 97 Season 2. This is not dated yet. It's going to be mid-2026 sometime. But we do know that this was plotted and mostly written by the previous showrunner, Bo DeMeo, who was removed from the show due to pretty strong harassment allegations. That he has pushed back on in a, I'll say, very weird way online.
The whole situation is very strange.
We do know this can be picking up on the cliffhanger that the X-Men are in three different time. Yes. I don't want to get into, I don't want to get caught too much of that, so much as, like, he wrote, I believe, the entire second season, and then when he was fired, now that they have new showrunners, they went back and rejiggered and changed a bunch of it. But we do know it's going to pick up on the X-Men in three different places in time, all focused on different iterations of Apocalypse. We've got the future thing where we've got, what were they called, like Slim and Red, when Jean Grey and
Slim
Cyclops
and Red,
were
yes.
there.
The Adventures of Cyclops and Phoenix, I want to say, was the name of that comic series?
Yes. That's right. Great comment.
Good stuff.
Great concept. Yeah. We've also got them back in time with En Sabineur. We've got some missing X-Men, probably in the present, but we don't necessarily know. And there's the tease that we may get multiple other X-Men teams, including like an X-Force potentially and some sort of X-Factor, possibly some sort of battle for the X. So a lot of stuff going into this. Thoughts on this one. Pete, what about you?
Well, the last season was really good. I'm a sucker for the theme song, so as long as this doesn't suck,
as long as the theme song is good and at the beginning, I think we're going to be fine. You know?
Yeah, I think we'll be set. Yeah. I mean, I watched every episode of the when it originally came out back in the day.
Congratulations!
Yeah. Well, I'm a huge fan.
Well, we were kids then; we had nothing else to do.
I still same thing, man. Wake up, eat my cereal on Saturdays, and watch X-Men. I mean, what else is there? You know what I mean?
Nothing else to life. Justin, what about you? What are you looking forward to with this?
I mean, very excited. All the sort of allegations and everything aside, the fact that it continues the creative vision from the first season, I think, is good for the show. Like, I thought that was a success. Again, like, I don't know if this is just a industry-wide thing, but feels like there's so much going on here. It's hard to put it all in one bucket, but I think they did it last season. I feel like they can again, and last season was such a win. They paid homage to the past while bringing some big swing choices into the present day. So let's go into the future.
Yeah. And I will mention just as a little plug, Justin and I talked to AJ Locasio, who does the voice of Gambit at New York Comic Con, about his very delightful children book, Spoops, and also very much about X-Men 97, because we couldn't resist talking about it. He's playing coy, but I think there's every chance that Gambit is going to be back as one of the Horsemen of Apocalypse.
Certainly back for some aspect of it. 100%. I mean, especially with all the time travel, like, we're going to see him. Come on.
Come on, cher. All right. Why don't we talk about a DCU show? We keep jumping back and forth. This is another one that isn't dated, but mid-2026 sometime. We're going to get Lanterns, which is an HBO series starring Kyle Chandler as a older Hal Jordan, who is mentoring the young rookie Green Lantern. Aaron Pierre is playing John Stewart, and they are going to be investigating a earthbound mystery in what is essentially described as True Detective, except with Green Lanterns. And they've also said, though I don't know how much this has changed, that this is a big part of kicking off the story of Gods and Monsters, Chapter 1 of the DCU. And boy, after this, I really hope we stop talking about this is really kicking off the DCU, because we had Creature Commandos. This is it. It's kicking off the DCU, but it's more of an appetizer. And then Superman, this is the real start of the DCU. But wait until you get to Peacemaker, because that really kicks off the main story of the DCU. Now here comes Lanterns. Adam, just like, just start it. Just go. Whatever it is, well, just let's...
I mean, it does make sense a little bit, because everything is so wildly different, and maybe this, they're like, okay, this is actually what we're doing, and like, good, it's time. Because the tonal switch from Superman to Peacemaker, I was like, these aren't the same. What are you trying to do here?
Actually, one thing I wanted to mention before I forget, that I am very interested to see with the 2026 DCU stuff, and this counts for Supergirl as well, is getting different people on board than James Gunn, because the three previous projects we've gotten have been written by James Gunn and directed at least in part by James Gunn. So having other folks come in and give different tones and ideas into the DCU, I think is going to be good and really interesting, and pays off, not to mention him again, but James Gunn's promise that they are artist, writer, director forward versus just thinking plot, plot, plot. Pete, what were you going to say about this?
I was just going to say the last Green Lantern thing was insulting. So I am not excited to see this. I am excited that Jon Stewart is getting a little shine, but I got my arms crossed, and I'm not going to like be the first. You know what I mean? Like when you're proud of something and you want to get behind something, I'll be first. This, somebody's got to tell me it's good before I'm going to look, because I'm still upset at what you did to me in the last movie.
Well, this is an entirely different creative team, and I'll mention, I didn't mention them before, but the three guys who crafted this and put this together are Chris Mundy, who we probably don't know as well, and I'm forgetting what his credits are specifically, but also Damon Lindelof, who did the Watchmen series that you mentioned earlier, Pete, as well as Leftovers and Lost and plenty of other things, and Tom King. So big year for Tom King at the DCU. He wrote the book that Supergirl is based on, and he co-wrote a bunch of the episodes here as well. So I don't know. I think those are three quality people that point to a level of quality. I'm very curious to see this and how this spins off. And I will also mention, you know, HBO has been a little bit of a mixed bag with franchise stuff, but The Penguin was great. So at least in terms of HBO and DC, we've been well fed so far.
Wait, so you're saying just because it's different people and that I can't hold a grudge from a last project to this project? Is that what you're trying to say to me?
I mean, you can do whatever you want, and you absolutely will, but no.
Chris Mundy,
but you know, whatever.
Whatever, you do you. Chris Mundy, I believe, did Ozark, which is a show I liked, even though it got a little bit odd by the end of it. But I love this. I like an older Hal. I like a young Jon Stewart. If they do find a way to do True Detective, but with Green Lanterns, that's a win. I mean, Yellow King, their vulnerability for the Green Lantern.
Totally.
So,
and we know Sinestro is in this. My only like slight worry with this show is the Green Lantern of it all. Like, love Kyle Chandler and Aaron Pierre. They're awesome.
Same.
I do worry that it's going to feel incongruous when they're suddenly like, and we wear a green suit, or alternately, they are never going to wear a green suit, and it feels like this very regressive, we're kind of embarrassed by the whole superhero of it all. But I don't think David Lindelof and Tom King, at the very least, are embarrassed by superhero stuff, so we'll see. We shall see.
I was going to say, that this creative team is actually really exciting to me. Like, Damon Lindelof, Tom King, Chris Mundy, great. We got Kyle Chandler in this preview image wearing, like, an oiled leather jacket, just like Pedro Pascal in Last of Us. How can we not?
How can it not be a win? Here's another one that I am very optimistic about, and I bet Pete is as well. We've got Untitled Punisher TV special.
Wait, what? We're getting a special? Like
Did
a Christmas special?
This? Did you not know? Yeah, it's a Christmas special where he learns the true meaning of Christmas.
No, it's a Christmas. One of my favorite one-shots is like the Punisher Christmas special. Don't play with my emotions.
No, it's not that. But we do know this is going to be co-written by John Bernthal, working with, again, I should have written down names, the guy he worked with on We Own the City, which was a really good series as well. This is something John Bernthal.
Great. Is that David Simon?
No, not David Simon, the other guy. It was the guy who directed it, and he's directing this episode as well. We do know this is something John Bernthal like went to bat for and really wanted to do, particularly spinning out directly from Daredevil Born Again Season 2. It sounds like it might take place like in the continuity of like mid-season of Daredevil Born Again. So probably when like vigilantes are down in New York, though we don't know that for sure. And I will also say as a tease, this hasn't been confirmed, but Pete, you might know this, it seems to potentially be adapting, at least in part, the Ma Nucci storyline from Punisher Max, which, like, goes hard.
Yeah, so, to say the least. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, it's a Max series, for Christ's sakes. I mean, that goes really hard. Well, that's very exciting.
Reynaldo Marcus Green is the other writer and director.
Yes.
That's very exciting. When is this dropping?
This is sometime mid-2026. This is pure speculation, but I would guess it's going to come after Daredevil Born Again wraps up, probably sometime in April. So I would guess May.
If we can, I'm going to need to take off work. So I need to know when this drops because I'm just going to be watching this.
For how long?
I'm just going to watch it on repeat and just, cancel all obligations and just kind of go into a Punisher coma, if you will.
I just love how much John Bernthal cares about the Punisher. That is just impressive. I wish I could care about anything as much as John Bernthal cares about the Punisher. And that includes my kids, honestly.
Wow. That's upsetting.
And he looks so much like Frank Castle. It's crazy. I feel like he's gotten to look more like him over the years, which is alarming for his future trajectory.
But this is exciting. Here's the one that you were referencing earlier, Justin. On September 11th, we are going to get a Clayface movie. This was a script that Mike Flanagan, who people probably know from his horror work, wrote.
Right.
Sent by James Gunn. I was like, I don't know, I was playing around with this, and James Gunn loved it so much, they threw it in, even though it was not part of the original DCU plan at all. This is described as a R-rated body horror movie featuring a different Clayface that we've seen previously in the DCU. It is an actor who gets injected to some formula and gains these powers and this curse. It does place in Gotham City, so there's going to be a lot of questions, I think, about where's Batman? Why isn't Batman showing up in this? They haven't cast a Batman in the DCU, so probably won't. There was one other thing that I was going to say about it. I don't remember what it is, but what do you guys think about? Oh, I remember. This will speak directly to Justin. Flanagan has said he was specifically inspired by the Feet of Clay episode of Batman, the animated series, when he was writing this script.
That's a great one.
I was just going to say, this is feels straight out of Feet of Clay, the two-part Batman animated series. If you haven't seen that, I would say go just watch that two-parter right away. I think they're still on HBO Max right now. It's a fantastic episode, and it really is. Batman's in it, but it's really about our Clayface character, what drives him to take this experimental stuff, and then what becomes of him. And it is awesome. And if they can find a way to just follow that dramatic arc, I think this movie is going to be great. And body horror is what this is about.
This is very exciting. And also the fact that, like, it seems like the script and everything was so good, it just couldn't be denied, and they kind of put it on the docket. That's also very exciting. But Clayface is a great character when done well. Like in the Harley Quinn animated series, it's really good. It's also really good in the Batman animated series. So, like, when Clayface is good, it is great. I'm excited to kind of get – I think it's in good hands. So this could be really interesting. This is great news.
My one bummer about this is
the release date.
yes, is that Mike Flanagan wow. isn't directing as well. He was too busy working on his Carrie series for yeah. Prime Video. He is one of my absolute favorites, and I wish he had directed the script, but hopefully they're going to see his vision through. The other thing that I'm really not looking forward to that I intimated a little bit earlier is I'm really not looking forward to the where's Batman, why isn't Batman in this conversation, because whatever you think about the first Joker, it worked without Batman. Whatever you thought about Penguin, it worked without Batman. Well, so I think we've proven the argument that you can have a villain-focused thing with Batman yes. off-screen, and it is okay.
I agree with that baseline, just kind of like, yes, you can have a whole thing with the character and not have Batman. The problem that I have in Penguin, they started blowing up so much stuff. I'm like, Batman would have to notice all of these explosions in his city. You know what I mean? So there, yes, you can have a character in the world and not have him. But if they start getting too loud and doing things that like somebody would notice who lived in the area, that's when it's kind of like, well, what the fuck? So
do you think you need a scene of Batman being like, what was that? Anyway, I got to go to Costa Rica for vacation, Alfred.
Costa Rica?
Yeah, man.
Surfing. I'm getting Costa into surfing, Rica. Alfred.
He loves ceviche.
Yeah, he does. All right.
Ceviche.
Why don't we move on to talk about one of the big ones, maybe the biggest one for the year, though I'm sure we'll certainly have some thoughts about this. December 18th, 2026, we are getting Avengers Doomsday is coming out. And if there is a character that you think is in it, they are in it right now as we are taping this. They were releasing weekly teasers in theaters before Avatar Fire and Ash. The one we're watching here on the YouTube version is the spoiler Chris Evans is coming back as Steve Rogers, which has made a lot of people really upset about, though we can certainly talk about that a little bit. The one currently playing in theaters as we're taping is Thor, which we already knew, Chris Hemsworth is Thor. And there's a third one that I won't necessarily spoil right now unless we want to, has already leaked for next weekend. There's going to be a fourth one coming up the fourth weekend. They're pulling out all the stops here to make sure this is a success. And the last thing that I'll mention, though, in terms of the success of the business of it, is that Dune Part 3 is coming out the exact same day as Avengers Doomsday. And they are at the Doomsday. Very least going to have to Doomsday. There we go. Yeah. We finally got our ship coming up. And they're going to have to, at the very least, split IMAX screens, if not one of them is going to get them and the other isn't.
Someone's going to blink. Situation again. You know
one is going to blink. They cannot release those movies.
Yeah, they're going to shift. That's crazy. One will shift, yes.
So the question is, like, given the hype, I mean, we don't need to get too far into this. I'd rather talk about the movie and your thoughts on it. But, like, which one is going to shift? Is it going to be Avengers Doomsday, which is, like, do or die for the MCU? Or is it going to be Dune Part 3? We shall see.
You'd like to Dune could move, but what do I know?
I do think Dune might move. I mean, it's just 1 week. Shift a week.
Yeah, shift a week. Shift a week. Go to Christmas. It'll be fine. Let's not get too worried about that. What do you think, guys? Because, like, we know they had that shares reveal for Avengers Doomsday with, like, I want to say 40 to 60 actors. We've got Robert Downey Jr. playing Dr. Doom. We don't know the exact plot, but there are going to be various Avengers teams. The X-Men are returning. It's a battle between worlds. And spoiler incursions. For probably the end, it is going to probably end with everybody losing and Doom winning, similar to Infinity War, leading into Avengers Secret Wars, which is supposed to come out in 2027, but I guess we'll see. What do you think? Are you hyped for this? Are you bummed for it? We've had a lot of discussion in our Patreon Discord about this, and it seems very evenly split.
I'm hyped. Wow, we got to be excited here. This is going to be, if nothing else, it's the whole thing. They're literally putting it
That's
all
what's
on
scary
the table.
About
it's
it.
Time. Yeah, but it's exciting. It's scary and exciting. That's what life is.
It seems like they were like, man, we're fucking up. We need to go back to what worked. We need
that's
Robert Downey Jr. back.
I think that's also accurate.
But
that's
the problem is they're shoehorning stuff in to be like, fuck, let's just, everybody, just pile everybody on this problem. If we bring everybody back, maybe it'll make it all better.
But Pete, they're not shoehorning. This is what happens in comic book crossovers. They're pulling on the source material. Like, there's not like, they just have to draw Captain America and they don't have to pay the actor.
Well, here's the
they're
problem.
Deciding to pay the actor.
They're... I'm worried they're going to be making different choices as a comic book reader, as someone who's like, oh man, I love Doom. I don't remember a Robert Downey Jr. Doom. I don't remember them getting this fucking crazy with Doom.
I'm so sorry. Robert Doomey Jr.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, that's his name. Yeah, yeah. It's always been his name.
Doom Jr. over here is a little nerve-wracking because that's not going to make sense in my brain. I'm a huge fan of Doom. I don't think about Iron Man when I think of Doom, so that doesn't fit in my nerd brain. So I'm a little like, how is this going to work? And there's just so much shit in here that I'm like, how is there going to be a movie? And also, after that Avengers movie, when we lost, like, I had to talk to everybody in my row and be like, hey, it's going to be all right. This isn't the end. Like,
Well,
no, but people were sad and scratching their head going, what? So, you know, it's just
get
like,
ready. Get ready to chat it up.
I don't want to be depressed and then have to wait for the second part to be able to feel good again.
Pete, you're the ultimate expression of it's working. Of like, hey, it's working. We got everyone to be stressed for 1 year and then come back and see the next movie. That's what they're doing here.
That's
and that's
not
exciting.
Cool to do to people.
It is cool. It's very cool. That's what, and like the idea of Robert Downey Jr. playing Doom is weird. I agree, but aren't they going to do like a Reed Richards, the Maker situation here, where this is Tony Stark who has gone evil?
Yeah, pretty much. That is one thing that I do want to push back on that I've seen a lot online is people bummed, and I understand this from the comic book brain, of not having a buildup of Doom and Richards as these two opposites. But the thing that I'd throw out to you is that's what movies do literally all the time. Like, you do not usually need 20 movies leading up to one movie. Relationships are established in one scene, and that's okay. Like, it is clearly going to be Reed Richards versus Dr. Doom, but I have full confidence they can establish that in the movie. That said, my biggest red flag that we haven't noted yet is the Russos coming back to directing. And the reason I say that is, like, everything that they have done since Avengers Endgame has been slop. It has just been, like, forgettable slop, and it's only getting worse. I don't know if you watched the Chris Pratt, Millie Bobby Brown, the Electric State movie, where
very bad.
Millie Bobby Brown and Chris Pratt were, like, clearly mostly not on set together. They just digitally matted them together. And with this, with so many actors in it who have already come out and been like, I don't know what I was doing. I didn't read a script. I'm not sure if they're finished with the script. I don't know who I was on set with or anything like that. Like, that's copy-paste. That is drawing the characters in, like you're saying, versus having fully fleshed out performances and arcs. And that's my worry here. Like, first of all, not first of all, but, like, obviously I'm going to see it. Like, of course I'm going to see it. It's going to be a cultural event. The question in my mind is, are they somehow beyond all reason going to pull it off yet again? Or is this, and I know I've been saying this for years, but, like, is this the death knell for the MCU? Because right now I feel like it absolutely could be the goodbye tour, these two movies. They're definitely going to put them both out in theaters. I think we are going to see Secret Wars no matter what, because it'll be filmed, it'll be done. There's a sunk cost there. But, like, if this doesn't work, if this gets savaged in reviews, there's going to be a serious reassessment for the entire MCU that they have now been putting off for many years. Again, whatever you think about the projects, lots of people are like, well, I love all of these things all the time, and that's fine. But again, from the business and creative perspective, if this is Electric State level, they're going to have to step back and reassess, no matter what.
Well, the thing is, the only thing I would say is, like, yes, that is definitely a concern, but they do have a lot of story that has come before working for them. They have the idea, like, worried about, like, establishing who Doom is. If Doom is a Tony Stark from another dimension that's gone bad, you did it. It's established. Like, everyone's going to be heartbroken to see this hero of the first multiple phases of the MCU as an evil presence. It's going to be exciting to see that. And Robert Downey Jr. is clearly excited about being the big bad after he's been the big good. That's great. So they already have a lot working for them. As long as they can, because the real thing I would say that's on the chopping block here is the MCU idea of just starting shooting without having a finished script. That's the thing that they have to test, because they're clearly doing it here. And if that doesn't work, that's the reassessment. Is like, let's write the stories before we start making them. And I think it's for the best they choose not to do that. And this is the proving ground right here.
Yeah. We shall see. We got a year to go unless it blinks and moves away from Dune Part 3. We do have a couple of other ones that we don't know exactly what are coming in the schedule. I would expect at least most of these projects are going to happen before Avengers Doomsday, but we did throw them here at the end because we don't have dates. In late 2026 sometime, we are going to get Vision Quest, which is being described as the third part of the trilogy that started with WandaVision and continued with Agatha all along. Here, nice. It's going to pick up on the plotline of Paul Bettany as White Vision flying away at the end of WandaVision, and he is going to explore his identity now. This is showrun by Terry Matalas, who people might know from the late, great 12 Monkeys show. Seriously, it's awesome. Check it out.
You love that show, Alex.
It's so good. He also worked on the mixed reception to Star Trek Picard Season 3, but this sort of like mind trip is very much in his wheelhouse. And what we do know about it, or I believe there's some assumptions about it, a lot of folks are coming in, including James Spader is back as Ultron, but we also have a lot of other humans playing different AI from the Marvel Universe. And the thought is this is probably at least in part taking place inside Vision's mind, where he is picturing various AI as people, potentially living in a neighborhood like WandaVision, like the Vision series from, you guessed it, Tom King again. But we will see. I will say, even with the change from the creative teams behind WandaVision and Agatha all along, because there was a continuity there, particularly with Jack Schaefer, I'm psyched for this. Like I said, this is Terry Matalas's wheelhouse very much. Paul Bettany is great as Vision. I have every expectation that this could be great.
I agree. Like, this very much could be great. Agatha all along, I feel like, was wobbled at points, but did stick the landing pretty hard. I liked the way that that series ended. So this, and I guess Marvel's sort of bookending a lot of stuff, this being the third part of that is a very conclusive. And, you know, you want to stick the landing, and I think this team definitely could.
I'm trying to quickly Google here to answer my own question, but any chance Kat Dennings is in this, or what's
Kat Dennings? Yeah. I don't believe they have announced her for this one yet. So you are now down on the series. You're out.
She's not really in this milieu, I would argue.
Yeah, she was in WandaVision, to Pete's point.
Yeah.
But she was not in Agatha all along.
Well, they got Jocasta in there. That could be really cool. Just looking at the cast now.
Yes, we will see. Sounds like Pete is a baby on this one. We got another late 2026, again, probably before Avengers Doomsday, but your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man is coming back for season two. This is one that I think we were like mixed positive on the first season. We liked a lot about it. But, well, the frequent criticism we throw out was it was so packed with references and also seemed weirdly tied to the continuity of the MCU. I will say I'm very excited for season two because I think and I hope they will finally get past that now that he has established as Spider-Man. They've gone in their own continuity. So I think that should be interesting. What do you guys think?
I mean, my big, my criticism was like they would just have a random character wearing a name tag that was like a very arch continuity, comic continuity reference. I was like, unnecessary, gang. And hopefully they can just tell stories without feeling like they have to have either paying off or setting up a reference to something that we don't really need to see at all.
Yeah, I was kind of mixed on this, but we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully the animation gets a little bit better. And
they're definitely sticking. I like the animation as well. They're definitely sticking to that style. The two new elements that we know about for the season is they are going to have Venom, and they're also going to have Spider-Gwen, which is interesting. Cool. Very curious to find out who's going to be voicing Spider-Gwen. I guess we'll find out when season two premieres. Next up, we got Spider-Noir. This is coming out TBA. We don't actually know. We have no idea when the year is coming out, but this is a live-action... What? I'm about to say that. Just wait. Just like, cool your jets, man. Yes, Nicolas Cage is playing a live-action Spider-Man noir.
Come on.
It is a different Spider-Man noir than he played in the Spider-Verse movies, which was a little goofier. It sounds like this is a serious one. He is also Ben Reilly, not Peter Parker. But this is set in the 1930s world. He does have spider powers. He is a detective. You got Lamorne Morris and a couple of other folks are in there. I think Brendan Gleeson is playing like a mob boss or something, which is pretty cool. This is also, which I think is pretty cool, is going to be released both in black and white and in color at the same time. So you'll have a choice there how you want to watch it. The very real cool downside of watching it is they were releasing it on MGM Plus, which is a service I believe nobody has. Mm-hmm. Like, there are zero people subscribed to that
you
service.
You can do the free trial, you know what I mean?
Oh, right. A lot of people will be trying, and they're hoping people just forget to cancel. Yeah. MGM Plus is a spinoff from Amazon, right? Because they own MGM. But agree, weird.
Yeah, I think eventually it's going to come to Prime Video after it goes on MGM Plus, but just strange choice there.
So
I don't
just
know why.
Wait for it. You just got to wait. Well, what's upsetting is the fact that you're saying it's not goofy, because that was kind of the fun of mm-hmm. the Cage noir of it, is we were laughing with him and we were also laughing. If it's going to be too serious, you know, it's going to be a different character. You already said it's a different character. So I'm a little trepidatious about that, because I had a great time with him before. So it's like, hey, it's like that thing, but we changed everything, so maybe you won't like it.
I will say it's produced by Lord and Miller, who did the Spider-Verse movies, and they have like reportedly like very clear oversight on a lot of these things. They're basically these spider maestros at this point. So I trust them. I trust them to get it across. I hear what you're saying, Pete, but we'll see what happens. And we've got one last, but definitely not least.
If it's a good noir, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Is Criminal.
Speaking
is
of noir.
Maybe coming out in 2026, I guess we'll see. This is based on the books, the comics by Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips. This was actually on our preview last year when we were looking forward to 2025 because they're done with it. So I'm a little worried, particularly because it seemed like Image was releasing new versions of the graphic novels this year to prep for the Criminal TV show. Brubaker and Phillips clearly released a Criminal special earlier in December that I believe was also supposed to tee up the TV show. So I don't know what's holding it back. I'm hoping it's just going to be like, hey, surprise, it's coming out in January or February. But it worries me a little bit, going back to like our original conversation towards the beginning of the podcast about Wonder Man, is like either that shows that maybe it's not great, or maybe it shows lack of confidence in it. But I don't know. I'm hopeful because I want to see a good Criminal TV show.
Ed Brubaker worked on it.
I agree.
That's all the backing I need. I think this is going to be good once we get it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm worried we'll talk about it next year on this show. But whenever it comes out, I mean, again, it's got amazing source materials, and all it needs to do is stay true to that, and we got a winner.
All right, we will see. Before we wrap up here, like we said at the beginning, what is the thing of the things we talked about that you are most hyped for this year, and then we will forget to check it next year? Justin?
Oh, cool.
What are you looking forward to?
There's a lot of good stuff, I think. I mean, it's hard to not say Doomsday, because if they can land that, if they can get us to the Infinity War endgame vibes, but it's an exciting if. It's an exciting if to have on there. And then I'm going to say Lanterns is my other top pick. Not to go the big ticket items, but those are two I'm looking forward to.
Sell out.
Pete, what about you? What are you looking forward to? And since Justin already did it, you can choose a movie and a TV show if you want.
Okay, thanks. Well, if I look to my Punisher corner, I know what I'm looking forward to. And that is, I am just found out about this Punisher special. So, yeah, just super hyped for that. But then also Daredevil Born Again, where I get to see my boy in that. So,
and just, you're going to get to see him in Spider-Man Brand New Day. What a year for
wow!
you.
Wow! Three?
That is.
Three
something.
Times? That's what a year. You know?
Yeah, lots of stuff I'm looking forward to. I'm going to call out, I'm anticipating Supergirl. I'm excited for that. I love that book. And I think, like Justin, I believe, said earlier, if they can nail that tone from the book, I think that's going to be a great movie.
Justin didn't say that earlier.
Oh, did you say that, Pete?
I think
no,
I
I'm
said
just
that.
Saying he didn't say it.
I think Justin said that. We'll play
that. Somebody doesn't sound like Justin, though.
Also very interested in the Clayface movie, but I think of the two, I'm going to choose Supergirl. And then for the TV perspective, I'm pretty hyped for the final season of The Boys. I'm excited for that. I think, like,
come on,
we've already seen them pull out all the stops and be the most disgusting show on TV. What happens when they have nothing left?
It's pronounced Wahapies.
Wahapies when they have nothing left. That is sure going to be something to see. I'm pretty excited for them to pull out all the stops there, and I think it's going to be absolutely devastating to watch, and I love feeling like that. Let us know what you are looking forward to. What movies, TV, what do you think is going to be good? What do you think is going to be bad? And then we will also check in with all of your comments 1 year from now. Let's meet back right here.
Yes.
In the meantime, we usually do a live show every Tuesday at 7 p.m. to YouTube.
Sure do.
Hang out and talk comic books. Patreon.com/comicbookclub to support all this show and all the shows we do. Comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, we'll see you at the movies.
Yeah. We'll see you in 2026. Keep living, as Pete always says.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.